Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hello and good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues here on AFR, American Family Radio. I'm Tim Wildman, and joining me to co-host today is Fred Jackson. Good morning, Fred.
Great to be with you.
Fred's news director for American Family Radio, and are you chief editor of OneNewsNow.com or overseer?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, anyway.
Yeah, I'm the guy that
gets Jody Brown.
I'm the guy that gets the complaints.
Jody Brown's editor, mm-hmm. but you and Jody work closely together on That's the right. One News Now mm-hmm. website. Check that out, folks, One News Now. Subscribe. They can get a daily news brief, right?
That's right. Go to the right-hand side of onenewsnow.com.
That's appropriate.
Place to sign. Yeah, the right side.
The right side.
I'm not sure if that was...
In more ways than one.
In more ways than one. You can sign up there, and we'll send you one email a day, no more.
All right. Chris Woodward is with us.
Thank you.
Chris, one of Fred's fine journalists.
I'm glad you feel that way.
Yeah. Yes. Well, you are for now. Don't blow it, Chris.
Okay. Pressure's on.
We're going to be judging you the All next right. Hour.
Watch what I say.
Walker's out. Ed's out. Is that Ray's not with us today either? What's the deal with these people? They just bailing on us here. But
well, they think it's Christmas or something?
I guess. I think Walker went to the woods to hunt. And
I don't know enough to say.
Is Ed's watching hockey highlights.
I know. Is this good hunting weather? Does anybody know?
I have no idea.
Well, I think if you're a deer hunter this time of year, most places in North America, it'd be frigid. I don't know. I don't know what the optimal. I'm not a hunter, so I don't know what. I'm thinking the optimal deer hunting season would be 40 degrees.
Okay.
Something like that. You don't want it too cold. My father-in-law, Jim Harden, mm-hmm. my father-in-law, he passed away about a decade ago or so. But anyway, funny story. I wasn't raised. My dad didn't hunt, so I didn't. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. did other things. I did like to fish and play sports and stuff. But I didn't hunt. But my father-in-law was an avid deer hunter.
Okay.
So when I was dating his daughter, he tried to turn me into one, and
it didn't work.
He failed at that. He took me out about three times, put me in a stand.
Up in the tree.
In the winter. Ooh. And I just went because you don't want to say, when your father-in-law,
right.
when your future father-in-law invites you to go
hunting.
Deer hunting with him, you know, you say yes. You don't want to say no because you don't want to get in disfavor, right? Mm-hmm. Because I don't want to marry his daughter, so I don't want him against me because I'm against hunting.
Did he ever utter the phrase, "Do you see the size of this gun, Tim?"
Yeah, well, he put me in, and I didn't hardly know how to shoot. So he put me up there in a stand. I went about three times, and I tried my best not to complain because you freeze. I mean, let's be honest, in January.
Uh-huh.
I just bit my lip. Yes, sir. I'm having a good time. This is great. This is off. I can see why you like this. And so anyway, after about three or four times, he said, "Tim, don't worry about it anymore, man. We're still good." I said, "Well, thank you, thank you, Jim, because man, that just ain't for me. You know what I'm saying?" And he said, "All right, we'll go fishing in the spring, and all'll be good." So anyway, we had many. Times fishing that I really enjoyed it, but deer hunting in the middle of winter was not my thing. Mm-mm. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. That's funny because he taught my sons how to hunt.
I know Walker loves it.
And they love it.
Yeah.
So it skipped a generation there, skipped a generation. Just to let you know, folks, we are on Facebook and YouTube live video streaming. So you'd like to check us out here in the studio. This morning, watch the show. You can go to Facebook or YouTube and type in Today's Issues. We'll also be posting the stories that we will be discussing on this day. And you can interact with other viewers slash listeners to American Family Radio. Chris, Lead us off.
All right. The big thing we're watching today in the nation's capital is the short-term spending bill. It looks like the House could approve this short-term spending bill today, in the next 24 hours at least. This would sort of avert a looming government shutdown. It would basically push the deadline back another 6 weeks or whatever, something like until February 8th. And as of right now, it does not appear to be that a border wall funding is a big priority for a lot of these lawmakers, many of them with R's next to his or her name. Even President Trump, as we have reported on AFN this week and OneNewsNow.com, maybe have, you know, he's kind of sort of backed down from his threat of a shutting down the government if he doesn't get the $5 billion he wants for the border wall, which brings into question these comments a week, 10 days ago, in the Oval Office on national television with high-ranking Democrats. This is clip six.
I'll take it.
Okay, good.
You know what I'll say? Yes. If we don't get what we want, one way or the other, whether it's through you, through a military, through anything you want to call, I will shut down the government.
Okay,
absolutely.
Fair enough.
And
we
I am
disagree.
Proud, and I'll
we
tell
disagree.
You what, I am proud to shut down the government for border security, Chuck, because the people of this country don't want criminals and people that have lots of problems and drugs pouring into our country. So I will take the mantle.
Now, if he does not deliver on that statement, I don't want to call it a threat, but if he does not deliver on that promise, this could be his read my lips moment. Because if you don't deliver on this, which is why a lot of people joined his campaign, which was a movement early on in his presidential campaign, a lot of people jumped on him because of the border security. It doesn't appear that he's really living up to those kinds of statements a week, 10 days ago, however long it's been. And I would be shocked to see anything getting approved by Democrats once they take control of the House in next month. What do you guys think?
Yeah, the headline from the Associated Press in the last hour or so, Trump on verge of giving up best chance to secure wall money.
Yeah.
That's their headline. And then on Fox and Friends this morning, it was a lineup of well-known conservatives like Mike Huckabee and Mark Meadows, Congressman Mark Meadows and Dana Loesch, their usual conservative
Michelle Malkin, Ben Shapiro.
All of them saying, wait a minute, this was the key issue for President Trump in 2016.
Yeah.
Again, in this year's election, we're going to build a wall. You had the clip you just played it there, Chris Forrest, from 8 or 9 days ago.
Yeah.
Him being defiant to the face of Chuck Schumer, Senator Chuck Schumer, Democrat. And yet, I mean, we're waking up this morning and it sounds like he's caved.
Yeah. What do you think?
It's a defining moment for the president. He really is. It, like you said, George H.W. Mm-hmm. Bush had his read my lips, no new taxes moment that he broke. He broke that promise. I don't know. It remains to be seen what the president will do here. Will he veto or not? I mean, the spending bill, if it doesn't have the money in there for the construction of the border wall, which mm-hmm. was his signature issue, if he does, I can't. On one hand, I can't see the advantage to him of not standing up at this moment in time, you know, to mm-hmm. the Congress and doing all he can do, including a veto or which would, in essence, shut down the government. And you heard him say there that he would be proud to do that in the name of border security, i.e. a wall. So if he doesn't, this will be the fourth time, I believe I was told, that he's bluffed.
Mm-hmm.
Remember he said, I will not sign another bill like this.
Mm-hmm.
Remember this?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know who's advising him. Of course, President Trump, he does listen to some people. Mike Pence has been with him a long time and others, but it's up to him. It's all on him. And I do think his candidacy 2 years from now hinges on whether he follows through with this.
Yep. Absolutely.
Don't you think so? Because the whole conservative movement is watching to see what he'll do at this moment in time.
And that's why you got these stories out there this morning, and these people like Mike Huckabee.
Yeah.
And we have Mike Huckabee. He was on Fox and Friends this morning. Cut number one.
Mm-hmm. I'm troubled by what's going on. I feel like the Republicans have caved in again. And I'm so grateful that you've got the Freedom Caucus members mm-hmm. who are reminding the president, their fellow Republicans, and America that they won because of the border wall. And they lost because it didn't get done. I mean, we just sent $2.8 billion down to Mexico and Central America to help them in development. I think the president should dig in his heels. I'm a little disappointed that there's been sort of a mixed message going on. And I think it's time to tell Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi, look, here's the deal. We'll give you DACA, but you're going to give us the wall. And if you don't, the government shuts down. Well, and it's just going to be, you know, tough rocks for everybody.
Sure.
Yeah, I agree with Governor Huckabee. That's funny because Governor Huckabee is about to have his daughter over for Christmas dinner. And he's going to say, hey, what's up with what's going on there in the White House with this? But, you know, is there still time for him to do something about this?
Midnight tomorrow.
Yeah. So he may yet, but I do think it's a defining moment.
Well, the budget just passed by the Senate. It goes to the House now.
Right.
Does not contain the money that he wants for the border. It does not. Mm-hmm. And we kind of mentioned this yesterday, former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee just talked about the $2.8 billion that the Trump administration has sent to Central America, to Mexico, to help them with their economy.
Right.
I mean, that's almost $3 billion. Mm-hmm. Why not direct that $3 billion towards building the wall?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what Mike Huckabee's saying right there, former governor. You know, the other thing is, and don't misunderstand me, folks, at all, I'm in favor of the president if he has to veto or, quote, shut down the government over this issue. I think he owes it to his supporters and his voters to take a stand right now. But don't misunderstand me when I say this. There is enormous pressure on any president, especially a Republican president, to not, quote, shut down the government. Mm-hmm. Because... I mean, it you do have consequences. People say, well, it's only, 20% of the government and whatever. I don't know. I just know, imagine him doing this and vetoing and, quote, shutting down the government at Christmas time. Okay. Look, see what that looks like to the general public. It looks, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He will be the Grinch. Mm-hmm. All right. I'm just saying that is a political calculation that is real. That I'm sure some people are whispering that in his ear. Hey, this is going to look terrible. You know, this is Christmas and you're shutting down the government. These families aren't going to get paid and yada, yada, yada. You see what I'm saying here? The public relations is something that's real. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
The public relations nightmare mm-hmm. that could be. But of course, he gets hit from the left every single day, all day, so he's used to that. You know, what's new, right?
Right.
So we'll see what happens. Every presidency has its defining moments, and this is one for President Trump, and we will see what he ultimately does. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. By the way, Brian Fisher will be with us at the bottom of the hour, our own Brian Fisher, and he's got a brand new book out. You've probably heard about it, called The Boy to Man Book, Preparing Your Son for Manhood. It's an excellent book that we've produced here, and Brian spent a lot of years preparing and studying the Bible and using personal experiences, and I think you're going to really appreciate what our brother Brian has to say in a few minutes when we talk to him. And Dr. Alex McFarland will be with us at a quarter till the hour. All right, next story, Chris.
Well, sticking with the Trump administration, this could very well have been the lead discussion topic for discussion today, but President Trump yesterday essentially claimed that ISIS has been defeated in Syria. Troops over there are coming home. They're going to enjoy Christmas with their families, things like that. But a lot of people are kind of questioning, like, wait a minute, when did we beat these people? What's going on here? Can we get some more information? And even Senator Graham, to use a term popularized by the Trump administration, Senator Graham says it's fake news that we've defeated ISIS in Syria. Pulling troops is a stain on the U.S. Senator Graham has been at odds at times with President Trump.
They're good friends. When the president was in Tupelo a few weeks back, came in on Air Force One. He was campaigning for then candidate Cindy Hyde Smith, a Republican who ultimately won the Senate seat here in our state. But on the plane with the president was Lindsey Graham.
Mm-hmm.
And Lindsey Graham spoke at the rally. So they're tight. I'm talking about Trump and Lindsey Graham. Of course, Lindsey Graham became a rock star at the Kavanaugh hearings, right? So amongst conservatives, he did. And he was neither a rock nor a star for the conservatives before that, really. Lindsey Graham, a senator from South Carolina, is upset with the president right now over pulling the troops out of Syria, right?
He is. I actually saw a tweet from another individual this morning. I don't remember this person's name. It wasn't a lawmaker. But he said, President Obama's policy in Syria is now the second worst policy, and I can't believe I'm saying that.
Okay. President Trump is the commander-in-chief, so he has the authority to put troops or take troops out anywhere in the world. He made the decision to pull our troops out of Syria.
Mm-hmm.
I know some of our listening audience maybe who would be in favor of that.
Right.
Some would be against it. But Lindsey Graham had this to say. You got a cut from him?
I do not have any sound.
Make up
something.
Okay.
Well, I don't want to be a CNN.
Well, you got a Southern accent. Just make up. Just act like you're Lindsey Graham for
a
minute.
In a late night speech on the Senate floor on Wednesday, Senator Lindsey Graham rallied
against
President
Trump. Wait a minute. You're a Southern boy with an authentic Southern accent, and you're faking a Southern accent.
Well, I kind of. Huh? I'm half Yankee. My dad was born in Ohio, and my mom grew up north of Chicago. So my accent, it maybe not be.
Where'd you grow up?
I'm from Amory, Mississippi. Shout
out
to Monroe County.
You don't have. There's no Ohio.
Amory Panthers.
In that, Chris,
Smithville
I'm sorry. You got a professional radio voice. Yeah, it's definitely got.
Yeah, but he said President Obama's decision is disastrous.
Who said this?
Lindsey Graham, Senator Lindsey Graham said the president's decision is disastrous and a stain on the honor of the U.S. Lindsey Graham has been, I guess, what you would call a war hawk. He's one of the people that has been.
Here's the deal with this. You've got people like Rand Paul, the senator from Kentucky, who I have a lot of respect for. He's got Trump's ear, and he is in basically, I think he's in favor of pulling out our troops from most places around the world.
Right.
And I tend to sympathize with that. We're all tired of our troops being spread out all over the world, right?
It's been pretty much my entire lifetime.
Yeah, but on the other hand, there are situations where it's. I think we've had over 2,000 troops in Syria.
Yeah, 2,700. I think was the figure.
That's
such a
volatile part of the world, with ISIS, with the civil war going on in Syria. It's not too far from the northern part of Israel, and so I would assume our troops have been over there as a stabilizing force, Fred. And I don't know if this is. I don't know. I guess only time will tell whether this is a wise move or not.
Well, there's two views, and we're talking even within the conservative camp.
Right.
Of, is this the business of the United States? Now, I'm not advocating for one side or the other, but some say, is this the business of the United States to be involved with what would be considered the internal conflicts of a nation? To protect people against, let's say, the Syrian government. And it's been known that he is a cruel dictator, their leader.
Assad.
The other argument has been if the United States withdraws from the Syrian conflict, the internal conflict, then Russia will move in. ISIS will move back in.
Mm-hmm.
And that the presence of ISIS in Syria is a further threat to Israel. That's the counter argument to all of this. I think the president's thinking on this is we ought to be withdrawing from these internal conflicts. We ought to be withdrawing from the Iraq conflict, that, you know, going back to that.
Afghanistan.
And some people say that's going to be the next step, is pulling our troops out of Afghanistan.
Well, I'm in favor of that.
So Trump's argument is we're not gaining anything. We're there, and we know that ISIS is going to come back in. We know that, you know.
But he's claiming victory here, isn't he, over ISIS?
He's claiming victory, yeah. That's that. I don't agree with that statement. It reminds me of George W. Bush on the
battleship.
On that battleship, you know, we've won or something of that.
Mission accomplished.
Yeah. Mission accomplished, that famous phrase. And it just doesn't work because people have to remember Islamic terrorism is a religious movement. Right. It isn't a group of people that you...
Right. You don't ever defeat it.
You don't defeat it.
Permanently.
Yeah. So don't say things like ISIS has been defeated because you will always be proven wrong when you say that we defeated Islamic terrorism. You can't do that.
A good example of that is every time ISIS does something bigger, worse than they did before, everybody always harkens back to Obama calling them a JV team.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was just a boondoggle of a statement.
Yeah. Now, someone said this morning the president is not withdrawing completely the U.S.
presence
in that part of the world. We're still going to have troops in Iraq. And the belief is that if something flares up in Syria, we can move into the situation. But we're just going to pull people out of Syria. We're likely going to pull people out of Afghanistan because the president just does not feel. The other thing that perturbs the president, why is it the United States has to play the world's cop in these situations? It is one thing to defend our national security. It's another thing, let's send our people in to resolve a problem within a given country.
Yeah. Sometimes that's a balancing act because sometimes in order to maintain our national security and our way of life and our business interest around the world, you have to be a policeman. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
By necessity. In other words, we have to keep certain waters open in the Middle East, to get our oil, for example.
Mm-hmm.
But being involved, and then we went to Afghanistan to take out the ISIS and the, not the ISIS, but the Al-Qaeda.
Taliban.
Training camps. But fighting the Taliban is just going to be an eternal thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You're never going to, you know. So I don't agree with that. But we tried to stabilize the nation of Afghanistan, give them a chance to operate. Their new government, remember that?
Mm-hmm.
We've been there ever since, I guess, without post. Generally speaking, I think Americans are tired of being, quote, the world's policeman. But there's no greater force for good in the world than the United States.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to be the most powerful nation in the world, and would you rather it be, you know what I'm saying, China or Russia, or would you rather it be the United States?
For a lot of people, it's just the amount of money involved. I don't want to sound like a representative-elect from the Bronx who's a Democratic Socialist.
Do that accent, Chris.
But I can't do that. We need roads and bridges, kids and classrooms need this and that, whatever else, and we're sending $2 billion to Mexico to help people have some food in a caravan.
Yeah.
Well, we send these foreign aid packages, I guess, around the world to buy access and buy favors. That's the way the American government's operated for decades. So, anyway, we'll see whether the president is right.
Here's the odd thing about this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The liberals are criticizing President Trump's announcement of moving the troops out of Syria, saying he's giving in to his friend Vladimir Putin.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, the Democrats wake up every day and they go, what's Trump for?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
What's Trump for? Put us down for being against it.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's our talking points today.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We shall take a break right here, and we'll be back with more of today's issues momentarily. Brian Fisher will join us after the break. He's got a new book out called The Boy to Man Book, Preparing Your Son for Manhood. And we're going to tell you, we'll let Brian tell you what's in it and how you can get a copy of the new book. Dr. Alex McFarland will also be along in just a little while, so you don't want to miss that either. We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us here on Today's Issues on American Family Radio.
King of the Wild Frontier.
The music's free. I know we call it Learning University.
Of necessity.
Trivia Friday.
True.
Ding, ding, ding,
yes.
ding.
Yes. Oh, really?
That's correct.
Giraffes do not have vocal cords.
So you want a cheeseburger without cheese?
Hold the cheese.
I said, yes, ma'am, whatever you call it.
Take a break with Tim Wildman and the gang. Friday mornings at 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. Hey, Stephen McDowell has been a personal friend of mine for a couple of decades now. He is one of the best historians I know. He is president of the Providence Foundation, and no one documents early American history, especially the Christian aspect of early American history, better than my friend Stephen McDowell. He is going with us on our spiritual heritage tours, and he'll be talking all along the way and answering questions, and you're going to enjoy spending time with him if you're able to go with us in June or September. Again, we're going to Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon, and we're also going on a separate trip to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. So if you'd like to go on either one of these or both of them, contact us at spiritualheritagetours.com. That's spiritualheritagetours.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Hi, this is Todd Starnes from Fox News, and one of the things I love about Liberty University is the broad vision they have for their students. Instead of simply preparing them for a career, Liberty helps students grow into mature men and women of character, striving to impact their career fields for Christ. Liberty University is the largest Christian university in the world, offering more than 550 programs of study. Visit liberty.edu to learn more. Again, that's liberty.edu. Drag Queen Story Hour is the latest craze to sweep across public libraries. It's pretty straightforward. Men dressing up like women, reading storybooks to children as young as 3 years old. The idea is to promote tolerance and diversity. But moms and dads say it's about turning public libraries into platforms to advance the LGBT movement. Parents in Lafayette, Louisiana were stunned to hear a drag queen admit what Storybook Hour is really about.
This event is something that's going to be very beautiful. And for the children and the people that support it are going to realize that this is going to be the grooming of the next generation. We are trying to groom the next generation to not see the way that they just did.
Critics of the Storybook Hour have been called hateful and discriminatory, and city leaders declined to denounce the activity, an activity designed to groom the next generation of drag queens, three-year-olds. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Hey, let me, we were just talking here in studio, by the way, Chris Woodward is with me, and Fred Jackson from the American Family Radio News team, and Brian Fisher, host of Focal Point here on AFR, and one of our team here at American Family Radio. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning.
Hey, before we jump into your book, just a couple of minutes on this subject. I would implore people to pray for President Trump today. Brian, you and I were just chatting with us. We were enormous pressure. With any president, there's enormous pressure in that office, but he's got a defining moment now on his signature issue, and that is national border security, the wall, and his reelection chances, if he chooses to run again. I'm not convinced that'll happen yet, but anyway, that's just me speculating. He needs our prayers. Doesn't
absolutely end. Well, Tim, you were saying this is a defining moment in American history, and I think you're right. Louis Gohmert said this morning, if Trump does not get his wall built, it could signal the beginning of the end for America, because if he doesn't get reelected, we're going to have leaders with socialist tendencies, open border policies, and who knows what happens after that.
Well, also, we have half our country, unfortunately, I'm approximating here, I may be overstating it some, but about half our fellow Americans are for open borders. And by that, I mean they vote for people who are for open borders. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So We'll it's part of the culture war that's going on in our country. Yes, Fred.
They're just announcing their Homeland Security just announcing a new policy that people who approach our borders seeking asylum, their cases will be heard, but they're going to make these people return to Mexico while they're waiting for their case to be heard. In other words, the policy now is you approach the border, all right, you're seeking asylum.
Yeah.
We give you a date to show up in court, and a lot of people never do. You get to stay in the country until your date. Now they're saying the new policy is, we'll listen to your asylum claim, but you're going to stay in Mexico until that date comes up.
Right, which will prevent you from going into the U.S. and never showing up at your hearings.
Right. Exactly.
At your case
hearing. But the next page on this story is going to be some judge somewhere.
Yep.
Yeah, that's another problem. Just a lot of happy news here, folks, to share with you. We're just overflowing. It's a bounty of joy and good news. And the sarcasm meter just tilted. Brian is with us. Brian, you have written a book. I was saying it's a new book. It's It's a new book, but the work that went into this, the study, the research, the personal experiences you share, the scriptural principles you share, years in the making, right? What's the name of the book?
Name of the book is The Boy to Man Book, the subtitle, Preparing Your Son for Manhood. And what it's designed to be, Tim and Fred, Chris, Brent, what it's designed to be is a book that a father of a 12-year-old son can read with his son. So the father picks up the book, starts reading in chapter one. They're bite-sized chapters, 5-7 minutes to read with the son. There's a prayer that a father can pray over his son at the end of each chapter. And so it's an opportunity for a father to read this book together with his 12-year-old son. And the content of the book is drawn from the book of Proverbs. So the idea is, let's get the wisdom of Solomon, the wisdom that's distilled in the Proverbs. Let's try to get as much of that as we can into the lives of our 12-year-old sons. You know, and it's a book I tell people, I wish I'd had this book when my son was 12. I think there's a lot of dads out there, they feel keenly the responsibility to raise their sons and the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. They know they're merging into teenage years, or they're heading toward adulthood, toward manhood. And they feel a little bit anxious because they want to do something to help guide their son to that point. They're not sure how to do it. And so I tried to prepare this to be as user-friendly as possible for dads to pick up and read with their 12-year-old sons. Maybe it can be a bonding thing for them, but it'll be a way of getting some of the timeless truths of the Proverbs and the timeless truths of Solomon into the lives of our young boys.
How do you get the book?
You can go to AFAstore.net. Should be easy to remember. Where do you go when you want to buy stuff from AFA? You go to the AFA store. AFAstore.net, and they will set you up. And what prompted this, Tim, is I was reading the book of Proverbs one time. I use a reading schedule. It takes me through the whole counsel of God every 3 years. So every 3 years, I wind up reading through the book of Proverbs. And the last time through, a couple times ago through, it just struck me the number of times that Solomon in the book of Proverbs said, my son. 23 times he speaks directly to his son. So it hit me, you know, this is what Solomon wanted his son to know before he reached adulthood. And he was the wisest man that ever lived. I figure, well, if this is stuff he wanted his son to know, maybe it's stuff we ought to make sure our sons know as they merge toward adulthood. So that's the idea. Take the distilled wisdom of Proverbs and get it into the lives of our sons.
Brian, I was just looking at one of the chapters here early on in your book, and one of the points you think dads need to make with their sons is the Word of God is flawless. Mm-hmm. Wow. To undergird the fact that God has not changed his mind about what is right and wrong.
Yeah, and what I emphasize in that chapter is, look, as you go into manhood, even in high school and college, you're going to hear a lot of people who are going to tell you that the Bible is myth, it's superstition, it's fairy tales, don't listen to it, don't believe it. And I want to encourage these sons to grab this truth that the Word of God is false. Never let go of that. Never let anybody in high school, college, or anywhere else shake your faith in the Word of God.
Amen.
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio. Brian Fisher in with us. Brian's got a new book out. It's called The Boy to Man Book, Preparing Your Son for Manhood. and you want to get a this is a book you want to get a copy of, maybe as a maybe too late to get it to you by Christmas, but certainly as a gift to someone who's, you know, raising boys. And it's, as you say, Brian, it's something you go through with your son.
With
right?
your son, yeah.
So afastore.net, afastore.net. Let's talk about, for a minute, I would call it a crisis of masculinity, maybe. I don't know if that's how you would word it, but there's just, with all this, in our culture, it just seems to be like we're, the message to men is it's bad, it's a bad thing to be masculine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are you getting that from the pop
yeah,
culture, you know, and the entertainment industry? And
yeah, I think right now kind of the default position out there in our culture is that women are victims and men are perps.
Right.
You get any situation where there's some kind of conflict or controversy, right. It's the man's fault.
Right.
He's the perpetrator. The woman is the innocent victim. Well, we know that sin is an equal opportunity offender. And that women are as fallen as men. It's not that men are better than women. It's that they're both fallen. And so I think we need to find a way to recapture biblical masculinity for men, that there's nothing wrong with being a man, nothing to be ashamed of in being a man. Men have a role in culture that requires them to be masculine men, to be men after God's own heart. And we need to reclaim that concept of masculinity, I believe, for our sons. I think we need to reclaim that in the church. And my view is, what better way to start reclaiming manhood for America than to start with our 12-year-old sons? Mm. You know, there's 5 to 10,000 boys turn 12 every single day. Be great if we could get this book. Not that the book is great. It's not going to win a Pulitzer Prize, and I know that because I've read it. But the content is from the book of Proverbs, and I think that content is worth reflecting on. If we could get that out of the hands of every 12-year-old boy, yeah. In America, as he merges into manhood, we could make a blow towards reclaiming manhood for America.
Well, you know, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I think this would be a wonderful guidebook as well for churches and Sunday school classes. You know, a men's class at a church.
Yeah.
Taking this and underlying the importance of going to God's Word, Proverbs, to teach dads, to teach men how to teach their sons, because that's so important today. And we've lost it even in the church, that responsibility.
Well, there are a lot of opportunities, as Tim mentioned, to gift this to someone. Maybe you don't have a 12-year-old son, but maybe you've got a brother or a cousin or a nephew that does have a 12-year-old son. This would be a great gift to them. You know, you might have a youth ministry graduation gift from sixth grade as they go into middle school. Yeah. That's when they turn 12. Great gift to parents. Someone working in youth ministry, a great gift to give to them as they enter junior high school or middle school or whatever. Give a copy of this book to every father of a 12-year-old son in your church. And like I said, 10,000 boys turning 12 every day, and they all need the wisdom of Solomon in their lives.
Right. It's my understanding Solomon's son didn't exactly grow up to follow his dad's advice. I think he actually listened to maybe some of his friends rather than the wise elders that were contemporaries of his dad. Is that all the more reason to, you know, should we as fathers learn from that and say, you know, hey, we know that Solomon's kid didn't listen. Let's make sure my boy listens.
Yeah. Well, and I've got two or three chapters in here about the importance, because that's where Solomon starts Proverbs, is with the importance of picking good friends. You know, show me your friends, I'll show you your future. So I emphasize that, two or three, four chapters, how important picking the right friends are. You know, even Jesus had close friends. He had three close friends, had 12 disciples, but only three of them were very close to him. And then John, obviously, was his closest friend. And so it's important that we imitate that example, because we need the support of masculine friends. And I illustrate that in the book from my own life, how important having good male friends around me at critical times was in my life.
Mm. Well, you can get a copy of this new book by Brian Fisher called The Boy. The title of the book is The Boy to Man Book, Preparing Your Son for Manhood. Go to the website afastore.net, 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 and purchase your copy. I saw you signing some the other day, a lot of them. Are you still doing that? Or?
Well, we did that as a kind of a premium for everybody that bought the book on the first day.
Okay, will you just sign Brian, though? Just keep Fisher off? That way you still, you know, just sign half your name.
B-man.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Yeah, all right. So anyway, Brian, thanks so much for joining us, and we look forward to promoting this message found in your book, which comes from the Scriptures, as part of our mission here at AFA and AFR is to advance biblical manhood. And, you know, boys become men, and men are a reflection oftentimes of their childhood and their relationship with their dads.
Yeah.
And all right, thanks, Brian.
All right, Tim, very much. And thank you for the opportunity to publish this book under the aegis of AFA. I appreciate that very, very much.
Glad to do it. Proud to do it. Thank you, Brian. That's Brian Fisher. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Dr. Alex McFarland will be with us in just a few minutes. And I don't know. We'll come up with a topic for Alex. We can talk to him about anything, right?
It's been my experience, yes.
Alex can talk just about anything. What's your next story there, Chris?
Well, I did want to bring this to our readers and listeners' attention based on the fact that we know a lot of these groups. This is actually a National Review article, but other news outlets have this. Live Action, March for Life, the Family Research Council, and other groups have called for NIH Director Francis Collins to be fired after
what is
they
that?
Say National Institutes of Health. They do a lot of things with our tax dollars in the name of science and medical research. But this guy, Francis Collins, they want him fired after he reportedly defended the government's medical research using fetal matter donated by women who have had abortions, an issue that has saddened pro-life Americans and galvanized their opposition. I'll reach out to FRC Today, March for Life, and some other organizations, Live Action, to get them to explain more about this.
Who is this gentleman? Is this a government agency, you say?
It is. It's part of the government. They get a lot of money for funding and things like that.
Is this a presidential appointee?
I do not believe so.
Okay, because President Trump has been very steadfastly pro-life.
He has.
And I can't imagine him allowing somebody to do this under his umbrella.
Right, but the National Institutes of Health, again, a lot of their they do get a lot of funding from the tax dollars as part of appropriations and things like that. I'll get Tony or whoever we reach out to today for comment to explain how this group works, how it comes to be.
You're talking about they are funding fetal tissue research on aborted babies.
He's okay with Frankenscience on babies, yes.
On aborted babies. Okay. Well, we need to find out about this.
Yes.
Let us know about that, because we certainly don't need our government money not going to something of that nature. Well, we have Dr. Alex McFarland on now. Alex is co-host of Exploring the Word, which is a live radio Bible study, kind of risky. In some respects, Alex and Bert take on the world with their questions about the Scripture each day here on American Family Radio. Alex, good morning to you.
Well, hello, everybody, and Merry Christmas.
I say it's kind of risky, Alex, exploring the Word, because it's live radio, and you don't know what kind of questions are going to come your way, or maybe you do by now. Any and all kinds of questions, right?
We do a lot of praying. We do, but we have a great crew, and Brent Creeley and Cedra, and when they put the collar on, we honestly don't know. People ask us if it's scripted in advance, and it isn't. We take the calls and the questions, and we're very honored to do it.
Are there one or two questions that pop up more frequently than others on Exploring the Word? I know the purpose is to study through the Bible, on the radio, live. But are there one or two questions that come up more frequently than others on the show?
Absolutely. And oddly enough, they're kind of easy to remember. One is Genesis 6, and the other is Hebrews 6. Genesis 6, what were the Nephilim, the giants in the land? And Hebrews 6, can we lose our salvation? And Bert Harper would say this too, in 9 years, and we've been through the entire Bible about two times, but in terms of listener questions, Genesis 6 and Hebrews 6 are the most repeated.
What's the Genesis 6 question?
Well, it says that the sons of God looked on the daughters of men and saw that they were fair. And the question is, were these, quote, sons of God, as the King James translates it, were they carnal men from the line of Seth? Were they giants? Or were they demons trying to procreate with humans? Which, that's kind of a popular answer, but I disagree with that. I think they were, you know, sinful men and, maybe powerful men, but I don't think that a spiritual being can procreate with a human being physiologically. I just don't think that would work. Although maybe Satan was trying to create some unredeemable hybrid race. And then the Hebrews 6 in the New Testament is the question of, those who have tasted the heavenly gift but rejected it cannot be restored again to repentance. The question is, are those people that knew about Christ but really weren't born again, or were they born again people who lost their salvation? And, I do believe in the eternal security of the believer, but, you know, this is one of those things that, you know, we all agree on the deity of Christ and the blood atonement for our sins, but eternal security versus not eternal security, that's one of those areas that equally godly, well-intentioned people sometimes disagree on.
Yeah, interesting. So that's that question, that latter question, comes from Hebrews where?
Six? Hebrews 6:4.
Yeah, so I got you. So those are the two most popular questions. Of course, when we're doing live radio on the Bible, Dr. McFarland and Brother Burt, handle those questions. The point is not to get into theological controversies that have been around for centuries that, as you say, believers can disagree on. The point is of that Bible study is to get the Word of God in the hearts of our listeners during the middle of the day. Right? I mean, we have a lot of shows that talk about pop culture and politics and current events and the news of the day, as we do here on this program. But when we inserted Exploring the Word into the afternoon lineup here on American Family Radio, there's no other show like it. I guess the Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff, is that still on?
Do you know what we just heard from our publicist? And with all due respect to Hank, you know, he's a friend. We believe Exploring the Word has about four times the reach of the Bible Answer Man show.
Yeah.
And, but
I just remember
the two things.
That show was out there for a long time, the Bible Answer Man. I think he was live on the radio.
And
but
I think they're,
go ahead.
They're still around, but here's what thrills us. Number one is when people pray to accept Christ. And many times over the last 9 years, dozens of times, people have prayed to get saved on air. But the other thing, Tim, that really thrills us, and this is what it's all about, when people email and they'll say, you know, I've read the Bible straight through now several times, and your show has got me into the Scriptures, and now, you know, my family has a daily quiet time together, or, you know, my wife and I are having daily devotions. And so to get people into the Word of God and thereby see lives changed, that's what thrills us most.
Let me ask you a question. By the way, we're talking to Dr. Alex McFarland, co-host of Exploring the Word, a radio show here each afternoon on American Family Radio. I encourage you, if you can at all, tune in to Alex and Bert this afternoon at 3:05 Central Time here on American Family Radio. I know some of their shows during the holidays are taped, but most of them throughout the year are live radio. And you will benefit spiritually and your knowledge of the Bible by listening to these two gentlemen. I want to ask you this question. What would you say to this question, Alex? What is the point of the Old Testament in light of the New Covenant, which is expressed in the New Testament? Because I know there's been some people in the Christian community who say, well, there's not a lot of value in the study of the Old Testament, for example, because we don't live under that. We're not, you know, we're in the New Covenant. And how would you answer that? How would you answer that question?
Oh, great, great question. Well, the theme of the whole Bible is Jesus, the Son of God that was promised to come, and by his death and resurrection, we can be the children of God. So it's been said that Jesus is in the Old Testament concealed, Jesus is in the New Testament revealed. But just because, you know, we are under the new covenant, we're born again through repentance and faith, and it was the blood of Jesus that was shed to wash our sins away. I would encourage people, don't ignore the Old Testament, because in the Old Testament, for one thing, we see who God is, we see what morality is, we see what is God's plan for the home and for a civil society, we see that God keeps his promises, he makes many covenants and prophecies and promises that he fulfills. We see about God's plan for Israel, and we see much about not only the coming of the Messiah, but his return one day. And we see a lot about God's righteous judgment over sin, and we see that one day heaven will come to earth. And so let me say that while we're not under law, we're under grace. If you, as some have done, and I mean, we can, I think of Andy Stanley. With all due respect to Andy Stanley, he's basically kind of said the church has to let go of the Old Testament, and that really concerns me, because in John 5, Jesus said, "Search the Scriptures, for they testify of me." And I don't want my view of the Old Testament to be contrary to that of our Lord, and Jesus surely did put strong affirmation on the Old Testament.
Yeah, and in Jesus' time when he made that statement, there was no New Testament.
Yeah,
he was referring to the Old Testament, and you need the Old Testament for context when you read the New Testament. Mm-hmm. We only got a few minutes left, Alex. I heard you make some remarks just a week or so ago when the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary there in Louisville, Kentucky, under the direction of the president, Dr. Albert Mohler, they released a report that recounts the history of slavery and racism at that institution. And in that report, Dr. Fowler Mohler said, like our founders, we believe that repentance, which they confessed as an evangelical grace, is essential to the gospel. So he wasn't saying in that report that anybody who works there now at the seminary is guilty of endorsing slavery, supporting slavery. But he seemed to be saying it is necessary to apologize for things that happened over 100 years ago. And you had some comments on that.
Yeah, well, you know, Christ's Great Commission, Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Mark 16, 15, the Great Commission is not an invitation to go on an apology tour. And, you know, clearly slavery is wrong, and it's a shame that throughout world history it's existed. I thank God that America is the only nation that fought an internal civil war to get slavery ended. But I've never owned slaves and never planned to. And when Dr. Mohler and many of his colleagues like Russell Moore, they seem to go on these public, you know, self-flagellations and apologize. First of all, they are not speaking for me, and I think they're not speaking for a lot of Christendom. And all of this apology tour brand of Christianity is, I think, more to try and curry favor with the unbelieving left than to fulfill Christ's Great Commission. And frankly, I'm not comfortable with that.
All right, Alex McFarland. Alex, look forward to hearing you this afternoon here on Exploring the Word at 3:05 Central Time. And if I don't talk to you again, Merry Christmas, my brother.
Merry Christmas. Love to all. God bless you.
Bye-bye.
All right. Chris, thank you for
your
good news contributions to this show.
I had a great question, but I'll hold on to the next time he's on.
All right, Fred, you'll be back with me next half
yes,
hour.
Sir.
Steve Jordahl is waiting in the, it's not really a green room, it's a white room.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.